From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program, Nebraska Family Alliance's weekly radio show, Capitol Connection, connecting you to the Capitol and keeping you informed on the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And it's going to be another great show today. I have a very special guest joining me in just a little bit, one of the foremost leaders and thinkers on conservative policy and issues of faith, family, and freedom, Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute and vice president of public policy at Colorado Christian University, who recently hosted a rally for religious freedom to send a message to Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about that, as well as the upcoming Supreme Court case involving the Christian baker from Colorado and what's at stake for all Americans. Plus, what happens when Hollywood celebrities use their platform to promote pro-abortion organizations, and how you can help support a culture of life here in Nebraska. But first, of course, I want to start this show today by recognizing and thanking all of our veterans as we just observed Veterans Day. It is so vital that we continue to honor and recognize and thank all who have served. Freedom is not free, so with the utmost respect, honor, and gratitude, thank you to our veterans who have made the ultimate sacrifice in service of our country. We support you and we thank you. Thank you to our veterans. And it was very appropriate and pleasing to see that also this past week, the U.S. House passed unanimously our very own Congressman Don Bacon's first bill, the Gold Star Families Act, a measure aimed at helping Gold Star spouses and dependents access on-base benefits. This is a very important bill to help families who have lost a member serving in a war. And the bill creates a standardized policy across installations so that families can more easily access military facilities and certain benefits. Congressman Bacon said in a press release that the core of this bill is about commitment, a commitment for life, and ensuring as a legislative body we support our Gold Star families and extend to them a small measure of compassion, dignity, and respect that their tremendous sacrifice deserves. And now, since this bill has passed through the House, again, our very own United States Senator Deb Fischer has introduced the companion legislation in the U.S. Senate. It's wonderful to see this legislation advancing, and that Nebraska's elected officials are helping to push it across the finish line. And as I just said, freedom isn't free, and one of our most cherished freedoms, our first freedom, the free exercise of religion, the right to live and work according to your beliefs, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, the inalienable pre-political right that rests in our inherent dignity as human beings and in which all other freedoms are grounded, is in jeopardy. But thankfully, a lot of good people are doing something about it, including Colorado Christian University and the Centennial Institute, who last week hosted a major rally for religious freedom. And I'm pleased to be joined now by not just one of the good guys, but one of the great guys, Jeff Hunt, Vice President of Public Policy at Colorado Christian University, Director of the Centennial Institute, and Chairman of the Western Conservative Summit. Jeff, it's great to have you on the show today.
Nate, great to be with you. We are so proud of the work you are doing out there in Nebraska and making a big difference. And as a CCU alumnus, we are just so proud of you. So great to be speaking with you.
Well, that means a lot to me, and someone once told me that everything Jeff Hunt touches turns to gold, so my only regret is that I didn't have you on the show sooner. But Jeff, the Centennial Institute that you are the director of is a leading national public policy think tank. It operates from the campus of Colorado Christian University, and just earlier this week, you helped put on a religious freedom rally for Jack Phillips, who is the Christian baker from Colorado, headed to the Supreme Court just next month on a case that is drawing national attention. What was the message this rally sent, and why is CCU publicly backing Jack Phillips in this case?
That's right, Nate. Jack Phillips' case is going to be argued December 5th, so in just less than a month. This is one of the most important religious freedom cases in our generation. It gets to the core as to what all Americans are allowed to do and choose, which activities they want to be a part of, Jack is a baker. He's one of our neighbors. He's one of our local hometown boys, and we are so proud of him because he's fighting back against this movement that's been taking place across our country. It's a very bad movement that says that if you don't participate in the activities that we want you to, we're going to use the force of government to punish you. In this case, Jack is a baker. He was asked to participate in a gay wedding ceremony to produce the cake for that. He decided that he didn't want to be a part of that as a result of the kind of the strength of his conviction, the freedom of conscience that he has. And so he politely declined, and he helped the two gentlemen that were looking for that wedding cake to find a different bakery. Now, what's important to recognize here is that Jack was willing to sell them any other type of cake. He was willing to sell them types of cookies and basically anything else in the store. But when it comes to wedding cakes, it's an artistic expression for Jack. He puts a lot of time and energy into producing that cake and decorating it. And he didn't want to use his artistic talents in a way that he felt was a violation of his conscience. And that's what's at stake here. Do people of any faith or even no faith have the freedom to be able to exercise their freedom of conscience when it comes to how they run their business? And on the flip side, do we think that government should punish people that don't want to be participating in certain activities? We think that in America, what's made America great is freedom of religion and freedom of conscience, and to be able to choose which activities you want to be a part of. And that's why we're supporting Jack. We had a great rally, great turnout yesterday. And in addition to Jack, we had a florist from Washington that came, a t-shirt maker from Kentucky, and a videographer from Minnesota that are all facing these exact same issues. So this issue is going to spread across the country. This is really seriously one of the most important religious freedom cases in our generation.
Well, as you just laid out, this is an important case for not just Christians or people of faith, but all Americans. Jeff, you're out in Colorado, and as you mentioned, right next door to Jack Phillips. What's the reaction to all of this been in Colorado? Are you seeing a lot of support or people who came out in defense of Jack Phillips? I know it's been a divisive issue. What's it like actually on the ground in Colorado?
Yeah, and Nate, that's a great question. You know, it's a contentious issue. And so, unfortunately, our attorney general came out in the opposite direction of this, and we're very disappointed in that. But as you saw, Trump's Department of Justice came out in support of Jack. But what was great about yesterday was we had people of lots of different faiths that came. So Jack's an evangelical, but we had representatives from the Catholic faith, from the LDS faith, and even the Jewish faith that came out and said an attack on one person of faith is an attack on all people of faith and even no faith. And we are going to stand with Jack. And so people of lots of different faiths are recognizing that this is a big issue, and they're standing on the side of religious freedom, and they're standing with Jack Phillips.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And as you said, this has been something that has been bringing a lot of attention to the issue of religious freedom. And it's not only evangelical Christians who are making a stand on this. Why is it that you think so many people of different faith backgrounds showed up for this rally that you held in support of Jack Phillips and religious freedom last week?
Right. Well, just look at how this can be played out in lots of different areas. So let's say you're an African-American cake shop owner, and someone comes in and, you know, they might be a white supremacist, but you serve them cookies. You don't have any problem with that. But they at one point want you to make a cake, and they want you to make a cake that highlights and supports white supremacy and how great white supremacy is. Well, we think as Americans that African-American baker should have every right to be able to decline that and say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that. What if they're a Jewish baker and, you know, he comes in, a Nazi sympathizer comes in and wants to buy a cookie, the Jewish baker will have no problem selling him the cookie. But what if at one point the Nazi sympathizer says, that I want you to bake a cake for me, and I want you to write on there how great the Holocaust was. Well, we as Americans think that that Jewish baker has every right to say, you know what, I don't want to do that. That's against my conscience. So this stretches to a wide variety of different issues. And like I said, what's important to recognize is that Jack was happy to serve these guys in any other capacity. He was happy to serve them, to sell them a birthday cake, to sell them cookies. He just did not want to be a part of a same-sex wedding ceremony. It violated his conscience. What's also important to note, Nate, is that Jack has a wide variety of different things he doesn't want to be a part of. He doesn't celebrate Halloween, so he doesn't want to bake a cake with Halloween on there. He doesn't celebrate divorce cakes. He's been asked to bake a cake that celebrated someone's divorce. He declined on that. And in fact, he had someone once that came in and said, I want you to bake a cake that says homosexuality is sinful. He said, you know what? I don't feel right. My faith says yes. I disagree with the homosexual lifestyle, but I'm not going to bake a cake for somebody that says homosexuality is sinful. And he declined to do that as well. We think that Americans have the right of free association, of freedom of conscience, and freedom of religion, and that's what's at stake in this case.
So in your eyes, Jeff, as someone who is deeply involved in policy, defending religious freedom, and actually works right next door to the cake shop where this whole thing began, this is about much more than just baking a cake.
That's exactly right. Exactly right, Nate. This is about freedom of conscience for all Americans. And the fact that Jack Phillips was our next-door neighbor, we buy a lot of our cakes here at CCU from him. He's a hometown boy. We wanted to send a message to the nation that good people of lots of different faiths support Jack in this. We're proud that he's standing up against this movement to try to censor people, to try to bring the force of government against people based upon their religious convictions and their freedom of conscience. And we were very proud of Jack. We had a great turnout. A lot of press covered it, and a lot of people from the community came. And like I said, lots of people of different faiths were supporting Jack.
And so as someone who actually knows Jack Phillips, and you've heard him speak, and he, I believe, addressed the crowd at this religious freedom rally, what should people know about him? Is he some hateful figure that just wants to discriminate against people who come into his shop?
You know, Nate, that is a wonderful question. And the sad thing is the other side wants to paint him as a very dark, deep, bigoted, homophobic type of man. And he is not that at all. He is not seeking the limelight. He is one of the most humble people. He loves his Lord. He serves his Lord in every capacity he can. He loves and serves people. But at the same time, he has strong convictions. Just like, you know, anybody who's an American may have, an atheist may have. They have strong convictions that should be equally protected. But Jack is just a humble guy. He wants to love and serve people. But what's happened to him as a result of this is he's lost over 40% of his business. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission has punished Jack to the point where he can't bake any cakes. He has to do constant updates and training to his staff, court ordered upon him by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And he stood up against that, and he's gone through 5 years of legal battles. The hate that's been poured down upon him is just terrible, even to the point of death threats. He is just he's a very humble man, just trying to stand strong for his convictions. And one of the things we pointed out yesterday was there are so many court cases where people of strong conviction have stood strong against government tyranny. They have gotten all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court sides on their side. There was a great case coming out of Maryland where a notary who is an atheist said that he didn't want to sign documents that required him to say that he believed in God. Well, he lost all the way to the Supreme Court, but once he got to the Supreme Court, the courts decided 9-0 on his favor, saying, you know what, people have the right to disagree in this country. They have the right to have a freedom of conscience. And the government shouldn't be used as a weapon to punish people just because they disagree.
Jeff, you know this case inside and out. How do you think we can better communicate to people, even those who think that they're opposed to Jack Phillips, that a win at the Supreme Court for him would really be a win for everyone?
Yes, and that's a great question, Nate. Most important thing that people can do right now, between now and December 5th and even before, all the way to the decisions in June, pray. Pray for Jack, pray for his attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom, and for this case. This is absolutely a critical case for this nation, the health of this nation, so please be praying. But two, talk about how this is not about denying service to people. Jack was not denying service to people. He was happy to sell them any type of product they wanted. This is about freedom of conscience and whether or not you as a business owner have the freedom to be able to participate in certain activities. So talk about it from that angle. That's important for people to understand. Most of these cases, whether they're florists in Washington or T-shirt makers in Kentucky or videographers in Minnesota. They love people. They're happy to serve people. Even people in the LGBT community, they're happy to serve with, and they've served them for decades. They just don't want to be a part of a ceremony that violates their conscience. And that's how people need to understand this issue. That's what's ultimately at stake.
Jeff, in addition to directing the Centennial Institute, you are also the Vice President of Public Policy at Colorado Christian University, and listed in the strategic objectives of Colorado Christian is the desire to impact our culture in support of traditional family values, sanctity of life, compassion for the poor, biblical view of human nature, limited government, personal freedom, free markets, natural law, original intent of the Constitution, and Western civilization. Now, with everything that we see going on college campuses across the country, especially the assaults and undermining free speech and conservative groups and students, that is an incredibly unique list of objectives for a university to adhere to. Why are those objectives so vital at Colorado Christian?
Well, that's a great question, Nate. Those came as a result of our predecessor, a former two-term U.S. Senator, Bill Armstrong, who was the former president of Colorado Christian University. But here's what's critical. We want our university to not only produce students that are going to go out into the nation and to the culture and to make a difference on behalf of what we believe, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but we also want to impact our culture today. We want to have a strong, bold voice into our culture. We believe passionately in truth. We believe passionately in natural law. We believe there is a right way by which our nation could run, our culture should run. We believe in healthy families. We believe in personal freedom. We believe in strongly in responsibility. All of that is critical to the health of the nation. And while it's important for us to produce students like Nate, like you, who are going to go out and make a big difference, we want to have a bold voice today into the culture as well and speak about issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of life, traditional family values, healthy marriages, all of those issues we want to be able to have a strong, bold voice in, and so that's what we do at Colorado Christian University.
Well, it's an incredible university making a big pact on our culture, as you just described. And so, Jeff, I also wanted to get your take on this, because you work on a college campus and interact with millennial college students every day, but a new poll came out last week showing the results of a survey conducted by the Victims of Communism Memorial Fund, and it showed that about half of millennials said they would rather live under socialism or communism than capitalism. What is your reaction to this, and how do we go about changing that narrative?
It doesn't surprise me, Nate. It's a sad statistic, but you see it with the youth turned towards Bernie Sanders, who was, you know, socialism. He claimed he was a different kind of socialist, but there's no different kinds of socialists. There's just socialists out there. So it's not surprising to me, but we've seen a shift on a lot of social issues towards the left. So not only socialism in itself and communism, but everything from support of gay marriage to support of legalization of marijuana, responses against religious freedom. They want to restrict religious freedom. But the one area where we have seen movement, and I think it's a good litmus test for what we need to be doing, is on the issue of abortion. For over 40 years now, we've been fighting a legalized abortion in America. And we've seen that the younger generations are actually more pro-life than the older generations were. Well, why is that the case? Well, a number of different reasons. One is a strong impact in the culture. You've seen a number of good pro-life films come out. But we've fought this fight for 40 years. We have not wavered. We argue passionately for it. The science is on our side on this. And it just takes time. And so what I want to encourage you and all your listeners is that we've got to continue the fight. I know it's hard, but if you look over the history, people like William Wilberforce, it took him over 40 years to end the slave trade in Britain. These big cultural changes, they take a long time, but you need to be consistent. You need to think about your future generations. We need to fight not only for this generation, but our children's and our grandchildren's generation. We need to support organizations like yours, Nate, that are on the ground in Nebraska, making a difference. They're not wavering. They're fighting every day on this. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. We're not going to change minds tomorrow. But in generations, we will. And in the long term, we will win this battle on all these issues that we care deeply about.
Well, I can't say it any better than that. Jeff Hunt, I owe much of where I am today to you and your leadership at Colorado Christian and the Centennial Institute. Thank you for coming on the show today and everything that you are doing in support of faith, family, and freedom.
Well, thank you, Nate. God bless you. And keep up the good work in Nebraska. And to all those out there, continue to support the Nebraska Family Alliance and their work out there that's absolutely critical. Get behind them. They are on the front lines. And, Nate, you're making us so proud.
I appreciate that. It's an honor. Jeff Hunt, Vice President of Public Policy at Colorado Christian University and Director of the Centennial Institute. You can learn more about CCU at www.ccu.edu. It's a tremendous university making a big impact and helping create a better future. Well, we just heard a great message about the pro-life cause and how it's being advanced and becoming increasingly supported by millennials in that our youngest generation is also the most pro-life generation that we've ever had. Now, someone who apparently does not share our desire to see that human life is protected from its very beginning to its natural end is Hollywood actress Mila Kunis, who revealed recently during an appearance on Conan to applause from the audience that she had set up a monthly donation to Planned Parenthood and Vice President Mike Pence's name, so that every month he gets a letter saying an anonymous donation has been made in your name to Planned Parenthood, the nation's number one abortion provider. And now this trivial stunt has backfired, and I would hope she would have seen this coming. Mila Kunis is a spokesperson for Jim Beam, and now pro-life conservatives and supporters of the vice president have decided that they are going to boycott Jim Beam, and not only are they boycotting Jim Beam, but probably more importantly, they are now making donations to pro-life organizations in Vice President Pence's name. And so we now know that donations are continuing to pour in to the national pro-life organization Susan B. Anthony list in Mike Pence's name. The vice president even said on Twitter that he is honored and thankful for all that the Susan B. Anthony list does for life. So ultimately, it would appear that the revelation a Hollywood celebrity makes monthly donations to Planned Parenthood and the vice president's name on a late-night talk show has helped advance the pro-life cause. Pro-lifers are winning this issue and continuing to advance their cause because it's a human rights issue, and pro-life people aren't just anti-abortion. Pro-life people are committed to supporting life in all its forms: children in foster care, adoptive families, pregnant women, newborns, and their mothers. We can and should love both mother and baby. And one of the best ways to do this and further create a culture of life here in Nebraska is to partner with the Nebraska Family Alliance. Nebraska Family Alliance is the longest standing pro-family organization in the state and your pro-life voice at the state capitol. You can fight back against the abortion industry and their Hollywood allies promoting Planned Parenthood while supporting mothers and their babies by joining Nebraska Family Alliance in our mission to ensure that every life is cherished and protected and making sure that our policies reflect our pro-life values. To learn more about how you can partner with Nebraska Family Alliance to advance family, freedom, and life, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We want to see a state and nation where God is honored, the sanctity of human life is protected, marriages and families thrive, and religious freedom is affirmed and celebrated. So be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, join the EAT Network, stay informed on issues, and learn how you can help make a difference here in our state. And be sure to subscribe to the Capital Connection for free by simply searching Capital Connection in the podcast app on your phone to never miss an episode, and make sure you're getting up-to-date information on issues happening at the Capitol and all things family, freedom, and life. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.